The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Make war. This week. Gotta chop the devil up into spam. I don't even like spam. Love you guys. All right, today's message is called Attitude Adjustment. Attitude Adjustment. John Cena, the wrestler, has a move called the Attitude Adjustment. And I'll show it to you right now.
Oh, and just like that.
Oh, baby.
Cena's caught again. Oh. Once again, Cena blocked.
Oh, my God, he's got him up. No way. No way.
That's a 350-pound mountain of a man. Cena picked him up and threw him like he was a rag doll. You ever felt like that? Like you're lifting through? Well, I used to be 350 pounds, so I know, but actually I was more than that. But you know, you go to the grocery store and you get your house and you think, okay, there's 7 bags. I don't want to make 2 trips. I'm tired. I had that cart with a wobbly wheel and the checkout lady was a trainee and I'm tired. I want to go in and watch TV. So you pick up all the bags, but you have to put them all in one hand because the other hand has to be free to open the door with keys. So now you're carrying like 350 pounds of groceries in one hand, and your fingers are turning red, and the ends of your fingers are turning white because there's no more blood flow to them, and you're dragging them, and you're just praying, please, Lord, don't let the milk fall out, or the eggs, Lord, please don't let the eggs fall out. You'd have to take out a second mortgage before the eggs went down. You're just praying nothing drops. There's too much weight. When I was working at the electric supply wholesaler, we used to call that the lazy man's load. Somebody trying to get all the pieces of pipe together one time so they wouldn't have to make 2 trips. It's the lazy man's load. But you know what? Sometimes our lives feel like that. Like we're carrying so much weight, too much weight. We have too many battles going on, and yet we're determined to carry it all in one trip. Why? Because we're stubborn. I can do it. Can you, Sparky? Maybe not so much. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to talk about how to handle the battles, the weights, the things that hold us back, the things that hurt us. How are we going to handle those in our lives? You ready? Put on your big boy pants. This is going to be a... You buckle up, buttercup. Father, thanks. We love you, Lord. You're so good to us. And you've given us so many tools. So God, I pray that today, that whether they're here in the room or watching on YouTube, God, the people who are dealing with battles, God, that you would give them an attitude adjustment today. Help them to see you. Thanks, Father. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, now we're going to kind of go in and through that book, so I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it's a long passage. So 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat, And the nation of Judah are surrounded. And I don't just mean like there's a few guys coming. I mean, 2 Chronicles 20 says a vast army. If you look at the word vast, it means a whole lot. A whole lot of people. In fact, it's not just one nation, it's a bunch of nations. The Ammonites, the Jebusites, the Amminuites, they're all kind of ites coming at them. The mighty mites. I don't know who. There was all kinds of stuff coming at them. And they got scared. They said there were more enemies than they could count. Now, again, that may not sound like much, because if I have to start counting past 10, I take my shoes off. Some of you will get that later. You'll go home and think, shoot, yeah, Jerry's so funny. Maybe you won't. But they're surrounded. You don't have to be a military genius to know this is bad. This is really, really bad when there's all these armies around you and you're in the middle kind of going, oh, crud. They're scared for their lives, and rightly so, because they are, and here's the military term for this. Let me let you in on a little military history. You're surrounded by a bunch of armies, and they're all coming to kill you. The military term for that is toast. You're toast. And they were toast. You ever feel like that? Like there's so many things coming at you, so many battles, so many struggles, so many things happening in your life. You're like, God, I'm toast. They began praying through that fear, though. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Listen, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. This whole series is on, based on the passage where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And here's the other thing that all flows through that. We've talked about it the last 3 weeks. Jeremiah did a great job last week kind of bringing that all together. We're not battling, we're battling against unseen forces. We're surrounded. And without God, we're toast. But. I love the but. But. God is there. Too many battles, too many foes, not enough health or strength to fight with. In other words, we're toast. But into our weakness, into our toastedness, God is ready to fight for us. So I'm going to give you today some keys on how to let God fight your battles. You ready for that? I'll say it one more time real slowly. Are you? Because most of you are like, what is he talking about? Are you ready to learn some keys? Oh, good. Nothing else, you woke up. All right. Hurts when you sit on those, doesn't it? All right. First of all, we must admit we can't win alone. I don't care how big and bad you think you are. I'm Mighty Joe Spiritual. I got the entire New Testament tattooed across my chest, the Old Testament on my back. Why? Because I got a lot of money and not very much smarts. No, I don't know. I don't care how spiritually strong you think you are. You're going to get to a battle where you're at the end of your strength. And you can talk a good fight if you want to. Yeah, tell the devil to come over here. I'll muss him up. And then he comes over and you go, ah! Look what Jehoshaphat prays in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? Look at this next verse. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. I got to tell you, that sentence right there, we are powerless against this mighty army that's about to attack us, that is so hard for us to say. Right? Okay, again, me. I know me. It's hard for me to say. I know you guys are perfect and never have any trouble with this. Liars. Okay? We're powerless. We got up to this and went, oh, crud. Oh, crud. What are we going to do? All the cars now have GPSs. I've moved to Yuma. I don't know Yuma real well yet. and I'm sad to say I got lost more than once because I thought I knew where I was going. And there were times back when we first had GPSs, I would know where I was going, and the GPS would tell me to turn. I said, no, that's not where I turn. I turn here. And then you end up lost in neighborhoods you really don't want to be in, you know, where you, that's not a good place for you to be. And you think, oh, maybe I should try this. You know, I'll humor the GPS. All right, Sparky. Yeah, because the GPS has a lot of emotional investment in this. So you put in the address, you hit navigate. Oh, I should have turned there. Oh, crud. Now notice, nothing outside has changed yet. You're still parked in the wrong neighborhood. You still have no idea how you got where you are. But everything feels better now because you got a plan. Everything feels better now because you know what to do next. When we pray, that's what God does for us. We say, I don't know where I'm going. God says, okay, that's okay. I do. Look, when we pray in these times, it's not informing God. It's admitting we need him to lead. I've heard people pray and tell God what to do. And if I was God, that wouldn't work for me. Now, I've said before, it's a good thing I'm not God, because especially on the freeway, there'd be a lot of people turned into toads and stuff. Little hint inside of your pastor's heart. I've heard people say, God, here's what I want, and here's how I want you to do it. And you can almost hear God in heaven saying, okay, Sparky, hang on a second. I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then I took a rest. You, Jerry, got a D in geometry in high school. I got this. When I need your help, I'll let you know. So every one of these points, I'm going to give you an attitude adjustment, something you need to work on. Here's your attitude adjustment for this point. This week, pray, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. God, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do, but I know you do. You with me so far? It gets harder as we go. Don't worry. Second, we got to trust his strategy, not ours. Oh, good. Oh, good. Look at verse 21. God tells them they're not going to fight. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Okay. So here's the thing. I want you to think through this, because we read this, like, oh, hallelujah, God is so good. Oh, hallelujah. Wait a second. Let's put ourselves in that spot. You got guys with swords and armor and helmets and breastplates and things that keep them from getting killed. And you got the choir over here with a songbook. Who's going first? Not the guys with the swords. The choir. Now, if you're one in the army, you're like, hey, I went through all of that training to do battle for Judah, to do battle for God, and you're going to let the choir go first? This stinks. And if you're the choir, wait a second. There's these. They all have swords and spears and horses and ugly stuff that's going to kill me. I got a songbook. And it's not big enough for me to hide behind. I'll put it in front of my head so my head doesn't die. In the book of Joshua, Jericho, the great walled city. Joshua said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to defeat Jericho. Nobody's ever gotten through their walls, but here's how we're going to do it. We're going to march around in circles, and we're going to blow horns. And we're going to do it a bunch of times. And you know there's one guy in the back, that's cool. What's our real plan? Because none of this makes sense. It does not make sense to send the choir first. Does it? Am I missing something here? Here's the thing. God's strategies often feel illogical because they require faith, not control. You with me? When God says, send the choir first, your first reaction is, okay, I'll go. I got my songbook in one hand. I'll have a sword in the other. Let's go. And God said, nah, leave the sword. Just take the songbook. See, worship before the battle doesn't make any sense. Does it? God, we're going to worship you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Okay, great. This doesn't make any sense unless you believe that God is already working. Sending the choir in front of the army doesn't make any sense unless you believe God's already doing something. If you have faith that God is already working on your behalf, send in the choir. Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's go. A nurse working overnight once said that the hardest hours are 3 to 4 a.m. Everything's quiet. Patients are sleeping. Nothing seems to be happening. But she said this, just because it looks still doesn't mean healing isn't happening. Some of you right now or in the 3 a.m. season of your life. Everything's quiet. Doesn't seem like anything's changing. You're praying every day. You're being faithful. You're doing everything God's asked you to do, and nothing's changed yet. And you're just trying to figure out what's next. I tell you what, worship anyway. See, God works the night shift too. God works the night shift. So whatever you got going on in your life right now, worship God anyway. God, thank you for the answer to this issue. I don't see it, but I know you're already working on it. God, my heart is burdened. I'm hurting, but I know you are the healer. In fact, you're already healing me. You're already sending the answers to the prayers I've never even thought of yet. So what's your attitude adjustment? Worship this week before you see results. That's hard. I know, not to you guys. You're all spiritual and you know.
Well, no, Jerry, I have no trouble with this at all.
All right. Meanwhile, us mere mortals. I didn't push the button, did I? Thank you. Us mere mortals, we sometimes worry about stuff. Pray and worship before you see the results. Third thing, we must stand still instead of striving. All right, this one hurts me. This is hard. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still. Oh, that hurts so bad. Stand still and watch. Oh, no, I got a sword. Let me
let me at them. I got a songbook. Let me sing.
People being coach.
He's with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Go out there and stand. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Why?
God told me to. I'm just standing.
When it all hits, though, I'm going to know. Now you're glad to be the choir, right? Because you got a front row seat. So you don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be good. As long as you live long enough to see it. That's hard. We like fixing. We like doing. We like managing. Right? I like getting my hands in there. I want to help God. Hey, God, I know I asked you about this, and I got faith in everything, God, but hey, maybe if I did this, it would help. And God, who's able to see eternity, says, no, Jerry. In fact, you get your grubby little paws in there, you're going to mess everything up. And maybe God doesn't talk to you that way, but I'm pretty sure that's the way he talks to me. Every time I've tried to help God with his job, I mess it up. Because I got news for you. I'm the weak part of the link. I'm the weak link in the chain. God's got it all under control. God's got stuff to do. He's going to take care of it. And then it comes to me, and I'm like, well, what if I stick a screwdriver right here? Everything blows up. Get out of here, Godsey. When you got a kid, he's learning to ride his bike, right? You hold on to the seat and you run behind him. You're holding on to him and they're trying to balance and they got the high-speed wobbles going on. What's a kid screaming? Don't let go, Dad. Do not let go. Dad, Dad, don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. Now, my oldest kid, Isaac, he said, don't let go, Dad. Don't let go, Dad. When he was finally good enough, I let go, and he was fine. He didn't even know I hadn't let go. He said, don't let go, Dad. I said, no, okay, I'm fine. And he was like, half a block ahead. My youngest son, don't let go, Dad, don't let go. I let go, and he, boom. And he was looking at me like, what? Why? I said don't let go. I know, but I trusted you. See, at some point, if you're the parent, you got to let go of the bike, or the kid never learns. And falling and skinning your knee is part of the learning process. The kid never learns how to balance if the parent just always holds on. Wait, he's maybe 35 years old in the Tour de France and his parents back there holding onto the bike. I'm shifting gears, Dad. Okay, I'll hold on. Sometimes we keep yelling, God, don't let go. I'm riding, but God, don't let go of me. Don't let go of me. And God says, you know what? I'm not letting go of you. I'm asking you to let go of control. Wow. I hate that. I hate that. You know why I don't ride roller coasters? Because I don't steer them. You know why I don't like airplanes? Because they're high. And I don't steer them. You know why I don't like riding passenger in a car? Because I'm not steering it. You see in a theme emerging here? I like to be the one in control. And God says, hey, Jerry, just stand there and watch.
Okay.
You start to shake your foot. Come on, God, come on. Stand still. Here's the thing. When God tells us to, standing still isn't doing nothing. It's trusting that God is doing something better. Do you believe God can do better without your help than with you messing it up? Now, there's two things at play there, isn't there?
One is the humility of saying, you know what, God's better than I am. The other is the relinquishing of that control. God, don't let go, don't let go. I'm not letting go. I'm asking you to let go. Here's your attitude adjustment. What do I need to stop trying to control? It just got real for a lot of people, didn't it? It's like, oh, crud, I wish I'd stayed home today. Too bad. Suckers. What is God telling you you need to let go of control of? Could be relationships. Could be your walk with Him. I don't know what your issue is. God does, and you do. You know what part of your life you're trying to control, even though God wants you to let it go. Here's the million-dollar question. Will you? Will you let God do what He wants if that means taking your hands off the situation? And we need to celebrate when God gives us victory. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 24, 22 through 24. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. Cool. Again, you got your choir book, you're like, wow. This is cool. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. That's the point where you're all supposed to say, amen. God's good. By the time Judah got to the battlefield, the battle was over. There's nothing left but dead bodies. And more swords and helmets and cool things that you can pick up and take. See, the battle was fought. All they had to do was receive the blessing. Here's the problem. When the battle's won in your life, do you forget to give God the glory? Sometimes we forget to give God the praise. He wins the victory and we strut around acting like we did something great. You had your songbook in your hand. All the armies killed each other. You got there and we said, wow, look what we did. Like the little boy that's trying to open the church door. It's a heavy door. He's pushing, he's grunting, he's sweating. His dad walks up, gently opened it with one hand. The little boy ran in shouting, Dad, we did it! That's us. God wins the battle. We get to walk in celebrating like we helped. If you're of a certain age, which means old, like me, remember the shake and bake commercials from the 60s? Grandma made the shake and bake. Grandma didn't fry the chicken. She made shake and bake, and I helped. God killed all the armies of Ammon and Mount Seir and all these other idiots. And I helped. Well, I didn't help. Give God glory. Hey, God, thank you for fighting my battles. Thank you for giving me victory. God, thank you for kicking a whole lot of tail end that I didn't have to kick. It's okay to talk to God that way. See, God smiles when we give Him praise because He loves giving victory to His kids. God wants you to be victorious. And this is not one of those, you know, teacher. Trying to be careful here. Moron is the only word I can come up with. The morons on TV. Name it, claim it, grab it and do without it, or doubt it and do without it. And if you're not rich, then you have sin in your life and God hates you. What? Shut up. And those people are ruining the faith of the average Christian. Let me tell you something. We're all going to walk through the mud. We're all going to walk through the muck. But if God's with me in the muck and the mire and the mud, I'm cool. Because I know if he's with me, there's dry ground coming. That's how we grow. We grow when we battle. We grow when we stand still and let God work in us and through us. That's how we grow. Here's your attitude adjustment. What victories do I need to give God glory for? And I'm not talking about like in the last 2 weeks. I'm talking about in your life. Have you overcome an addiction? Well, it was 20 years ago. Great. Give God glory now. Give God glory tomorrow. Give God glory the next day and the next day and the next day. You're not reminding him of anything. You're reminding you. Here's the thing. Every time you give God glory for the things you've come through victoriously, the next time you run into a problem, you're able to look back and say, hey, wait a second. God got me through that. God got me through that. God got me through that. I'm cool. We always think of the word faith as like stepping off the edge of a cliff and hoping God would catch us. When David went to fight with Goliath, and Saul questioned him, he says, wait a second. He says, I've gone in and gone after a lion when they were coming after my flock, and God protected me. I went after a bear. God protected me. And the same God who protected me from the lion and the bear is going to protect me from this big old dude. How do I know God's going to help me? Because he helped me yesterday. He helped me the day before. He helped me 20 years ago. The Bible tells me God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you know God's going to help you? Because he has a bunch of times. And every time you give him glory for victories in your life, you remind your heart that God is who said he is. That God is powerful. God is greater than anything you're going to face. That's cool. I got myself excited. What battle are you carrying that belongs to God? See, you weren't built to carry everyone's opinion. You weren't built to carry every possible outcome, every future scenario, every person's choices. And we do this, don't we? Well, what if this happens? I don't know. What if monkeys fly out of my ears? I don't know. To date, that hasn't happened, but who knows? Tomorrow's a new day. But what if? You know, here's your what if. What if I let God fight my battles for me and I just stand there and watch? What if I put my faith in God and let God take care of things? Is God going to steer you wrong? And by the way, he's not always going to give you things the way you think you ought to get them. Sometimes his answer is not your answer. Again, the difference between creator of heaven and the earth and the guy who got a D in geometry. God sees so far, so broad of a picture. We're looking at a little tiny thing. I've used the illustration before of a tapestry. Have you ever seen these big, beautiful tapestries? You look at them, you think, wow, it's gorgeous. You ever look at the back of one of those things? It's chaos. There's threads everywhere. It doesn't make any sense. You can't see a picture in it. All you see is a bunch of threads, a bunch of colors. Let me tell you something. You look at your life and you see the threads. God looks at your life and he sees the tapestry. Quit trying to think you got the whole picture, Sparky, because you don't. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who sent his son to die for you, the one who's prepared a place for you in heaven, he sees the whole picture. And he's putting it together. And when you're done, it's going to be beautiful. One day you'll get to heaven, you'll look at the tapestry of your life and say, wow, it didn't look that way when I was in it. You weren't built to carry all of that stuff. You were built to carry faith. Picture a kid wearing a backpack that's way too heavy. I've seen some of these kids in these elementary schools. Looks like their backpack weighs like 150 pounds. And a kid's like 70. I've seen them like drag them on the ground behind them. Like, dude, get a skateboard or something and pull it on. It's too heavy, can't even pick it up. His father looks down and says, here, give it to me. But the child hesitates. After all, it's his backpack. But the moment the kid hands it over, he stands up straighter. He feels lighter. He feels freer. He was never meant to carry that huge backpack. But to his dad, it's nothing. God is kneeling in your life today, and he's saying, give me the battle. Give me the battle. Quit trying to carry the backpack. It's too heavy for you. Quit trying to fight this battle. It's too big for you. But for me, nothing. It's nothing. Not because he doesn't care, because he cares too much to let you be crushed by something he already has the strength to defeat. Understand, the battles that you feel weighted under, the battles that you feel are taking your life, God's already taken care of them. He's already put in plans, all the things that's going to make this better. The question is whether or not you're going to let him. The choice is yours. You can keep struggling under the weight of a battle you can't win. And I got news for you. Everybody look here. Look at me. Makes me feel pretty. Something got it. You can't win. The battle in your life right now, you cannot win it. You are overmatched. You're going to die. You're toast. You can't do it. And you know what? Y'all went like, oh, crud, Jerry. Good message of hope, Pastor. You can't win it, but, I was like, comes after the but God can. Not only God can, God will. God will. So how do we do it? We've got to admit, can't win alone. Got to trust his strategy, not ours. We got to stand still instead of striving. And when the victory comes, celebrate with God. Let's pray. God, thank you. And Lord, there are people in this room right now that are fighting battles, and they walked in these doors. Maybe they're watching on YouTube or wherever. And God, they're sitting there and they're thinking, I'm crushed. I'm about to go under. I can't fight this battle anymore. But God, you don't need them to. You don't want them to. The battle is yours, not theirs. So God, give us strength to let our strength go and trust in yours. Your head's bowed right now. If you're having trouble in your life, you just feel like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I can't fight this battle. It's my health, it's my finances, it's my this, it's my that. I can't win this, God. That's okay. Because God can. What you need to do right now, go to him and say, okay, God, here it is. I'm going to take my grubby little paws off of it, and I'm going to give it to you. Come on, right now. Don't say, well, I'll do it later. No, do it now. It's that step of faith, saying, you know what, God, I know you can do it. Father, thank you. Lord, I think I believe there's a turning point in people's lives right now. God, people who have been just dying under the burdens are going to feel those burdens being lifted up as they let you carry their backpack. Thank you, God. Lord, we try to carry the weight too long and it's buckling us, but God, you are here to lift us up. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. You're so good to us, God. Now, whatever you ask God to now tell him thanks. See, now you're praying, you're sending the choir out, right? God, thanks. I'm declaring victory, that you are going to have victory in my life and my situation. God, thank you for what's coming. I may not see it today, but I know you're going to do it because you've done it before. God, thanks. Thanks, God. Thanks. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Now, let me let you in on a little secret here. The devil's going to try and push you back down. He's going to. It's going to happen. He's going to come to you. Look, you're going to die. Nah, God's got this. In fact, he's beaten you once. He's going to beat you again. And I read the end of the book. You're toast. This week, as those feelings of, oh, no, what am I going to do? No, not what am I going to do? What's God going to do? God, this is yours. You said to give it to you. Here you go. It's all yours, Sparky. Here you go. Maybe don't call God Sparky. We're going to take communion now. And we do it differently. I used to try and, every time I did communion, I used to try and do it differently every time. But I want to read you 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, I love this passage. The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. What's he giving bread? He's giving thanks. He says the bread is his body. He's giving thanks because the next few days, his body's going to be broken. He broke and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So in a moment, I'm going to pray, and then in a moment you can go. If you've got family members here, friends, you can do it together. There's bread, there's juice on the back. I'm going to pray, but then what I encourage you to do is before you take the communion elements is to stop and talk to God for a second. God, forgive me my sins. God, make me clean. And understand, you don't have to be a member of Remnant. We don't have members. If you're here in the room, you're okay. If you're on YouTube, go grab a soda and a hunk of bread. I don't care what you use. Okay? But go. Grab some bread. Grab some juice. Meet together as a family. If you don't have a family with you, just latch onto somebody else's. It's all right. I'll give you permission. When you get there, say, Jerry said I could. But then take a moment. And tell God thanks. Jesus, thanks for giving your body for me, for my healing, spiritually, mentally, physically. God, thank you for my healing. Thank you, Jesus, for spilling your blood so that I could be forgiven, so that I could go to heaven and have an eternal life. That's not just bread and juice back there. It's an embodiment. It's a memorial to what was paid so we could stand here today. God, bless us as we partake your body. I pray that you will inundate us with what it means. We won't just drink and eat, but God, we'll stop and take for a minute and give thanks for what you've done for us. Because it's immense. Thanks, God. Thanks. Victor's gonna play, and you can go and partake, and when you're ready to go home, you can go home. Want to stick around and fellowship with each other? You can do that. I don't care. Hey, let's spend some time with those elements and with God, okay? I love you guys so much. Thank you for letting me be here. God bless you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.